This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Don't go changing to try and please me. You never let me down before. Don't imagine you're too familiar, and I don't see you anymore.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. And as promised, I am honored to have on the phone lines the State Supreme Court Judge Susan Crawford. Good morning to you. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Earl.
It is an honor and a privilege to have this opportunity to have, a couple moments with you. Tell us a little bit about Judge Susan Crawford.
Oh, thanks, Earl. It is my honor to be here. Let me just say that first. I am a judge in the circuit court in Dane County. I've been on the bench since 2018. I grew up in Chippewa Falls in western Wisconsin, one of four kids. I started my career as a prosecutor at the Wisconsin Department of Justice, did that for many years, and worked hard to make sure that I was doing justice for the people in our state and crime victims and holding people accountable and making sure that the laws were interpreted correctly. I then later in my career was in private practice and often was working to make sure that I was fighting for people whose rights had been taken away from the government. So kind of from the other side, when school teachers' rights were taken away by the government, I was fighting for them in court to protect them. I represented Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin and their doctors to stand up for women's rights to access health care, and did a lot of work for our voting rights. So I've had a really broad career, and I've always really been focused on protecting people under our laws.
So I've often wondered, how old were you when you realized that this is the line of work that you wanted to do?
You know, I was pretty grown up, Earl. When I was a kid, I didn't know any lawyers and I didn't know any judges. And if you'd asked me when I was 10 years old, 12 years old, what I wanted to be when I grew up, I probably would have said I want to be a teacher, because my teachers were my heroes. And that was what I aspired to do, was to be like them. And after I finished college, I actually went to graduate school to try to pursue that career. And ultimately, after a year or so, I just had some second thoughts about that and some doubts, and was feeling really pulled to pursue a career that was more about engaging in the big issues of the day and solving problems for people and protecting people's rights. And ultimately that led me to law school and led me to the career I've had since then. So I would say I was, in my mid-20s before I came to that decision.
So if you're just joining us, I'm joined by a candidate for the State Supreme Court, Judge Susan Crawford. I guess I want to ask you, before we move any further, there's a guy in office right now who is doing everything he can, to destroy the judicial system that you and many others hold sacred. Your thoughts about what's happening right now and the challenges that the judicial system faces under President Donald Trump?
Yeah, well, Earl, I think what people should understand and what should give people hope is that the judicial branch is an entirely separate branch of government from the executive branch, and the courts exist to protect people's rights under our laws and under our Constitution. And the courts provide a firewall when the executive branch, and that's the president at the federal government level or the governor at the state government level, and you know, Congress or the legislature, when they take rights away from people that are vested under our Constitution, we go to the courts to protect people. And it presents that kind of firewall to protect people's rights. So that's why courts are even more important today than ever.
So let's talk about the state Supreme Court, you know, and the position that you are running for right now. The way, you know, tell us a little bit about cases and how you guys determine what cases, let's say you're fortunate enough to become the next Supreme Court justice. How is it determined what cases are the things that you guys will hear?
Yeah, that's a great question, Earl. So the Wisconsin Supreme Court is unique among all the other courts in our state in that they do get to pick and choose which cases to take up. Parties, lawyers can present petitions from cases that have gone through the lower courts asking the Supreme Court to take up a case. And the Supreme Court votes, and if at least three of the justices decide that the case presents issue of statewide importance that merits consideration by the top court, then the Supreme Court's going to hear that case. So you see the Wisconsin Supreme Court making decisions in many cases that affect our most basic rights and freedoms in our democracy, our right to vote. There are two cases in the Supreme Court this term on women's rights to make decisions about their own bodies and their reproductive choices. Every season, every year, there are important cases that the Supreme Court's deciding that are going to affect all of our rights and freedoms. So that's why this race is so important, and it's why it's so important to make sure that that court stays fair and impartial and isn't taken over by, you know, extreme political people like my opponent, who is somebody who has a long history as a partisan politician, and I believe is trying to inject partisan politics into our Wisconsin
Supreme Court. You just stole my thunder, because I was going to ask you about partisan, you know, politics, and the Supreme Court is clearly a place that should not enter into the thought processes of the justices, but we know that hasn't been the case over the last decade and a half, almost two decades. So in the face of that, how do you resist that? How do you push back? How do you stay away from that fray?
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty straightforward for me, Earl. I've always been fair and impartial in any case that I hear now as a circuit court judge, and that's the same thing that I'll do as a justice on the Supreme Court. And my approach is to, first of all, make sure I get the facts right, because the truth is really important in our justice system at all levels of court. Then I make sure that I understand the law and am interpreting and applying the law correctly. And I also am careful to consider that what's really at stake in any case is the lives of the people who are in front of me. You know, I'm not making decisions to announce some kind of abstract principle to the world. I am making decisions that resolve real disputes between real people and affect people's lives. And I think it's very important for judges to look at the context of their decision. And on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, their decisions end up being precedent or set rules for the rest of the courts in the state to follow. So it's important for the Wisconsin Supreme Court justices to consider how those rules are going to be applied in future cases. But I approach each case with an open mind. I don't prejudge or pre-decide cases. Again, unlike my opponent, who has been out openly announcing his views on various cases pending in front of the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which is prejudicial to the parties in those cases and just an improper thing to do as a judge. You got to stay open-minded. You got to remain impartial until all the evidence is in, all the arguments have been made by the attorneys, and only then do I make a decision.
855-752-4842. My guest is Judge Susan Crawford. She's a candidate for the state Supreme Court. I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, this is arguably going to be the most expensive Supreme Court race in the history almost of the nation. Your thoughts?
Well, I wish it were otherwise, let me say that. But I am going to make sure that my campaign has the resources that we need to communicate my message to the voters, that voters know who I am, that they understand that I'm doing this to be a fair and impartial justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and that I'm going to work hard for their votes. And, you know, unfortunately, my opponent pledged very early on. He got into the race in way back in November of 2023 and immediately said that he'd be seeking national support from right-wing political groups to back his campaign. And that's what we're up against, is that kind of partisan approach. So I've got a great campaign team, and they will make sure we've got the resources that we run to have a level playing field and get the word out and help voters to understand what's at stake in this.
Well, I'll tell you, I am honored to have you on the airways. It certainly won't be the last time. It's a pleasure to get to put a voice to the face that I've seen. And on you know, in many places, and so we'll be certainly having dialogue as this progresses.
Well, thank you so much, Earl. It was a pleasure, and I'd love to come back sometime.
Certainly. All right. Thank you very much. That's candidate for the state Supreme Court, Judge Susan Crawford. 855-752-4842 is the number. You know, when we return. Got a lot to talk about. I want to talk about the fact that, what is the guy's name? Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And your thoughts as we were watching him go through his confirmation hearings on yesterday with the United States Senate. And we're also going to talk a little bit about the Democrats who are putting pressure on... I get it. 855-752-4842. We'll talk about it on the other side.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Text us at that same number. So let me go to the phone lines quickly. Hey, Al, good morning to you. How you doing, sir? You say what?
Good morning. I have a question for the candidate for Supreme Court.
Well, she's off the line now.
Can you hear me?
No, she's off the line.
I'm sorry?
She's gone.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, I have a question for her regarding the authority of the Supreme Court to challenge or advise the National Supreme Court if multiple states' Supreme Court see that there is explicit bias on behalf of the National Supreme Court? Can they challenge their decisions on a state-by-state basis?
You know, Al, that's a great question, and I'm just a lowly talk show host, but you know, I think that what we'll do is clearly she'll be back on, and I'll put that in the Rolodex, and so the next time she's on, I'll present that. That is a great question, you know. You would think that the United States Supreme Court is the arbiter, and so they're the final say. You know, that's what I would think. I don't have any information to back that up or corroborate it, but I would think that the sole arbiter and final decision maker is the United States Supreme Court.
The question I have is about their authority. If there's explicit bias being shown by the National Supreme Court, can a multitude of the state Supreme Court members challenge them on that bias that is clearly shown in respect to, you know, how they were appointed and or the decisions they make that affect all of us?
Yeah, it's a good question, but if off the top of my head, I would not see how lower courts, which would include all of the state Supreme Courts, could somehow overrule the United States Supreme Court. They're all lower courts compared to the United States Supreme Court.
I wasn't asking you.
I know. But I'll check it out. You know, I'll reach out and pose that question to somebody in the know, and we'll see what we can do about getting an answer for you, man. Thank you very much for the call. This is a subject that I've been, you know, twisting and turning on. Democratic governors push Schumer to unite his caucus against Trump. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Are you happy with the way the Democrats have been reacting to the decisions that Donald Trump is making? All of these different things that he's doing unilaterally. You know, at some point in time, you know, governing is going to have to take place. And Trump is going to find that out. And many of the people who support him are going to find that out. Not a dictatorship. He's going to soon run out of, you know, him making these decisions, presidential decisions. He can't run a government based on just him deciding how he wants to run things. I don't care. You know, he can't do that forever. So he's going to run out of that quickly. And he's going to have to do what everybody else does. He's going to have to deal with the Congress. And right now there are people celebrating. They don't think, hey, Donald Trump is doing everything. He's running everything. Well, for all of you who think that that's going to continue, that's fool's gold. So Donald Trump will soon be running out of decisions that he makes unilaterally. We just saw that, right? When he tried to shut down all the things that he attempted to shut down, you know. So our Democrats, governors of states are saying to Chuck Schumer, you know, the leader of the Democrats, hey, man, fight back. You know, let's stop sitting back and taking this. We don't have to sit back and take it. They just barely won. You know, they don't control everything, and they don't get to make all the decisions. There's still 50% of the American people, or 49%, 48% of the people who voted against that. So why are we continuing to allow the Republicans and Donald Trump to basically run things as if this is a fiefdom? It's not a fiefdom. We still live in a democracy. And so, you know, it hasn't changed to the degree that they're trying to change it. It's still a democracy. So governors are saying to state governors, Democratic governors are saying to Chuck Schumer, hey, man, let's fight back. 855-752-4842. What do you say? You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-967-2789. That's 855-967-2789. Text us at that same number. A group of Democratic governors met with Chuck Schumer Wednesday night, urging him to get his caucus in line to push back against President Donald Trump's actions and appointments, according to a person familiar with the call. The governors want Senate Democrats to be more forceful in responding to Trump. An aide to Schumer separately described the meeting as a conversation about the Trump administration's executive orders, his erratic policies, and the impact they're having on states. 855-752-4842. Your thoughts. Let's go to the phone lines. Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Okay, I got two comments. First of all, about Susan Crawford, when she says that she's bipartisan, that's like calling you a Bears fan. I don't believe anybody, even on the radio when you heard it, believes that she's bipartisan. You know that she's not. She's a partisan hack, and she wants.
Hey, Gary, the partisan hack is Brad Schimmel. So we know who Brad Schimmel is. I've seen him. His work is there to be seen. Right? He's been around. Okay? He's a guy who has constantly talked about and supported and been supported by conservatives. You don't know anything about this woman. We do know who Brad Schimmel is.
Of course.
Okay. No, I know, but so, you called her a hack. And you know nothing about her. The real hack is Brad Schimmel, man. We know who he is.
Okay, I listened to her say that she's going there and open with an open mind. Now, if you honestly believe that, she's going to come down there and just rule the way the liberals and all the progressives want her to rule.
Hey, Gary, do you think Brad Schimmel is going to be there with an open mind? No. He's not. So what are you talking about?
No, I'm not. She claims that she's bipartisan, but nobody believes that, including you or anybody else. Everybody knows this is a Democratic Republican. It's supposed to not be, but that's the way it is. You know, Brad Schimmel is a conservative. She is a liberal, and that's just the way it is.
Hey, Gary, why does that bother you that she said that?
Not telling the truth.
Hey,
Brad Schimmel said that he is bipartisan, I would say he's a lying sack of poop. He's not. He's partisan. He's partisan towards the conservatives. You know, she claims that she's not, but the fact is, we all know that she is. So why would she go out there and say such a stupid lie when everybody knows?
Hey, Gary. You know what I mean? I mean, here you are attacking this woman. You know, using all sorts of incendiary language. That's the issue, man. That's the part of all of this that people have a hard time taking. You know, you come under the guise of being a Christian, but yet you use all sorts of language and conversations that are as far away from Christianity as possible. Can't you have a dialogue and a conversation about someone without throwing all these slings and arrows at them, man? You know, that's part of what the problem is and why there's this divide between Republicans and Democrats. It's the language you guys use, man. Calvin, your thoughts.
Well, and not only that, like he said, no one believes her. And again, Gary would say this is my liberal bias and that I'm a partisan hack, but I believe that she will be nonpartisan bias. It's not our fault that the nonpartisan view oftentimes agrees with the Democratic side of things. Like, if you read the law and apply it properly, it oftentimes does not agree with what Republicans, especially ones like Donald Trump, are looking to accomplish.
You know, Calvin, it's one of the reasons why, you know, this conversation that we're having right now with Democratic governors who are saying to Chuck Schumer, and I will say this as well, Calvin, you know, early on after the Democrats lost this race, everybody was saying, we've got to work together, right? Democrats, you know, we've got to, they won. Let's try to work with Donald Trump. Let's try to work with the Republicans. How can you? You know, how can you work with people who are as condescending as Gary, right? Who just, you know, attacks this judge that he knows nothing about, but his first inclination is to attack her. That's no, we can't work with people, man, who's you know, right away to attack. And that's all they know. Look, I'm in total agreement with the governors. Hey, man, you can't work with these people, man. How can you work with people who clearly, totally dismiss anything you say? As if you don't, you're not an American. Well, we won. We're in charge. Sit down and shut up. No, that's not the way democracy works. We're still in a democracy. Just because Donald Trump got elected, you don't throw all that out the window. So you got to push back on it. Man, push back. They pushed back when Donald Trump tried to shut down government. And we know how he tried to shut it down. We know that that's in the playbook of Elon Musk. It's what he used when he did away with Twitter. He did the exact same thing. So these things are in a playbook. These things are part of 2025. You got to fight that, man. You got to push back. Tom from L.A., you're up.
Good morning, Earl. First, I want to say I am a proud Franklin Delano Roosevelt Democrat, and I say that especially today because today is his birthday. So I hope that we get someone like him that can come back and save the United States of America after this whole ruin happens. I also would like to just put the clarion call out to all the callers out there in Wisconsin. You can see how fast the right wing, Gary, gets on the phone and starts demonizing and starts moving into politics and partisan politics immediately. I hope everybody's ready for this fight. And I hope that Susan Crawford is ready for the fight. I hope she comes out and says, this is what they're going to say about me ahead of time, and start calling them what they are. They are the party of assault and battery. And they have earned that words from January 6th and beating up our boys in blue. And also, I would like to say that we also need to make sure that Donald Trump takes some personal responsibility and we start counting the number of deaths on his watch. I hope we can have a little calendar behind you, Earl, that counts the number of deaths on Donald Trump's watch. I know it's not nice, but you know what? Like you said, they're not playing nice. You don't have someone coming to the table being an honest broker. You cannot be an honest broker. You can take the high road, but you have got to fight against these people because they will just demolish us.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. No, man, you know, this is a battle. This is a battle that for 4 years, every day you wake up, you got to be ready for the fight. You got to put on your armor. That's what it's going to be. But I would say to Donald Trump and Republicans, at some point in time, he's got to govern. He's not governing. He hasn't, okay? And so people are so, oh, Donald Trump is moving, he's doing this, he's doing that. Hey, man, he's going to have to govern. Something he knows nothing about. We found that out the first 4 years that he had. He can't govern. He doesn't know what that means. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. Thank you for the call. You say what?
Well, what I'm saying is that I back you 100%. I always do. And I had just got off a conversation with one of my friends who actually voted for Trump. And I said, you know, he now wants to take all these immigrants and instead of flying them all back to wherever, he's going to put them at
Guantanamo Bay. Right.
And yes, that's the newest thing. And I said to her, I said, have anybody really thought this thing out? I said, first of all, you're going to have to fly these people out there. You're going to have guards that you're going to hire. You're going to feed, and you're going to clothe all these people. Okay, and what are these all these people in this country doing that are immigrants? They're working on our farms. They're picking fruit. They're picking vegetables. They're tending cows. They're roofing. They're working on our streets. Now, just think about it. They're getting paid, and they're paying into our state taxes. They're paying into our federal taxes. They're paying into our Social Security. All that money they can never claim, and that's going into our coffers. Now you're going to take all that money that they have been paying, and that's going to be no more. And then you're going to have to pay, and I don't know where you're going to get all this money from, you're to pay these people who are going to, after you put them in Guantanamo Bay, you're going to have to feed them, clothe them, you know, provide them with water and soap and whatever it takes that they can live. And where's this money coming from? It's coming from your pocketbook. Have you thought this out? See, they don't think this stuff out.
Hey Susan.
The response from this person was, well, they're only going to take the rapists and the drugs.
Hey, like, Susan, I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. You know, we're really at a turning point already, but we knew it before we even got here. How long did it take? 2 weeks to finally get to the point where not only are you nauseated by what you see. Yeah, come on. Anybody who sees what our lying eyes are telling us, a man who has no presidential, he doesn't even appear to be a president. I mean, you look at him, how he handles himself. No, there's no dignity. You know, it's just, you know, constantly, you know, just slinging crap every day. He can't stand before the cameras. He's the president of the United States, the most powerful man on earth. And he can't conduct himself as an adult. 855-752-4842. He acts like an impetuous child. I'm sorry, that's what I see. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll continue the conversation.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All right, welcome back to the last few minutes of the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. You can text us at that same number. I'm, you know, talking about Democratic governors pushing up against Chuck Schumer and saying that it's time that they fight back against, you know, Donald Trump and his policies. Let's go right to the phone lines and Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Thanks for taking my call as always. You know, we're all being lied to here. We're being played by these Republicans. We're being played like fools. During the Supreme Court hearings, their picks lied over and over and over. They said they were going to call balls and strikes, not being an activist court. They're going to, they respected precedents and just kidding. And now again, we're being told the same things. During the campaign and during the debate season, many people brought up specific items of 2025. Trump's response over and over and over, as well as the right wingers' response over and over, was, well, that's just somebody else's opinion, that that's not relevant. They ran away from 2025 throughout the debate season, throughout the fall. And then all of a sudden, the election's over and it's full speed ahead. I brought this up the other day, and I just, you know, when are the people, we the people, who again send these people to Congress to do our work for us, when are we going to tire of being lied to? It's really that simple. I'd love to see the paperwork and scrutinize the paperwork that they, these candidates have to fill out when they run for office, because there's obviously some things missing in their paperwork as far as allegiance and alliance and doing what they say they're going to do. You know, for us to be caught in this spot that we're in right now, and like to end the call this way, for us to be in this untenable spiral of uncertainty, it's really crazy. If we did this to ourselves, we asked and asked and asked the questions, they denied 2025 was even relevant, and now here we are. It's shame on us, Earl.
You know, Mike, we're only a couple weeks into this, and man, you got to fight it. You know, I'm with the Democratic governors. You got to fight it, man. You can't be silent. Hey, Don, what's going on, man? You say what?
Hey, good show, Earl, like usual. Hey, guy is really not the president. Let's face it. Elon Musk is running the show here. I mean, remember when he first bought this, that Twitter? The first thing he did was fire a bunch of people and start downsizing, and that's what they're planning to do with our government: fire a bunch of people and down. To see, they're using the government like it was a business, and that's not what they're supposed to do. You're supposed to serve the people. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Don. Thank you very much as always. You know, man. You know, I'm trying to be honest with you. I'm honestly trying, you know, not to come in here and talk about Donald Trump. It's hard. You know, you watch the pain he's trying to mete out to people. And it's not talk anymore, it's action. So you can't now say, well, people are tired of you talking about Donald Trump, about what, you know, the shiny object is real now. And he's doing and saying things that are impacting and affecting people that many of us said was going to take place. And yet people didn't want to believe that a person could be that cold. Well, he is. Because he's looking to do things to hurt people. And I don't know, man. I really don't know why, you know, people enjoy hurting other people, man. I'm not that. I've never been that. I've never got any joy out of seeing people suffer and be in pain. And I don't know what you gain by that, right? It's easier to love than to hate. But we know what we have, okay, before us. We know exactly what. Thank everybody who made the show go. I'll be back on tomorrow. Up next, Jane Madnair. Madnair on air. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.